You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
Good afternoon, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are when you are listening, this is the Monsters and Friends podcast. This is a podcast dedicated to the cryptids, legends, and lore that deserve more attention bestowed upon them. They're not Bigfoot or Mothman, but they're all amazing in their own right. And as always, I am your guide into the world of the weird, the wild, and the unknown, Michael Patrick. Thank you so much for choosing to spend some time with us around the campfire and listen to some tales of monsters and their friends. Barry's not with me today as he's back at the cabin getting the decorations ready for our post-Thanksgiving festivities. I'm really hoping that we get some actual Christmas lights this year as opposed to the mess that he set up last. However, he told me that he recorded our intro, so we'll see how those go. This week's adventures are definitely some exciting ones. We've already ventured into West Virginia before in the past, and we've talked about the Sheep Squatch, and of course, most people already know its most famous cryptid, the Mothman. But West Virginia has so much to offer that isn't just the Mothman. Now, don't get me wrong, not that we don't love and adore the Mothman, but we're gonna dive into this week with a different cryptid, or two perhaps. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and make a splash with our first cryptid. Well, you know what? You probably don't want to make too big of a splash, or this week's aquatic ambassador might make you its afternoon snack. This week's first friend is...
The Agua.
That is correct, the Agua. Our first friend is our aquatic ambassador, but it is very different than most of the water-dwelling creatures that we've generally featured in previous episodes. Normally, when we're talking about water-loving creatures, it either involves a long, serpentine creature of some sort, or it kind of makes a creature that fits into the whole "I'm a dinosaur, but don't call me Nessie" category. The Agua definitely does not fit into either of those two, though. This monster fits into the whole "don't go near the water or I'ma mess you up" category. Why would one say that? Well, let's just start with what this beast looks like. The Agua is a giant. Most stories relay this creature being somewhere between 400 and 500 pounds. One story from a gentleman said that it weighed in at a whopping 444 pounds. That guy must have been a carnival barker, as that's one pretty specific estimate. And if you don't know what a carnival barker is, please go ahead and Google it. I've seen reports of this thing being somewhere in between 15 and 20 feet long as well. This guy is a pretty big boy. It's also described as being kind of reddish brown in color. I don't know, is that like mauve? Yeah, beats me. For many that have seen it, they've described it as looking very similar to a turtle. More often than not, it appears that this creature is described as being very large, very turtle-like creature. One distinctive difference, though, between the Agua and a turtle is its method of locomotion. Unless this is a turtle that lives in the sewers of Manhattan and loves pizza, turtles generally have some sort of flippers, right? Well, the Agua has tree stumps for legs. No, not literal ones, even though that'd be pretty amazing, but they have stubby, short legs. Another key feature of the Agua is its hard-to-miss tail. It's either 15 feet long and drags on the ground, creating a trail, or it's super large and flat. The Agua uses this thing, however, to whip up the water into a frenzy or create bubbles or just knock the holy heck out of things. Another crazy thing about the Agua is this. Mobb Deep once said that there's no such thing as a halfway crook. However, there is definitely such a thing as a halfway aquatic ambassador. How, you might ask yourself? Well, this is yet another thing that makes this, well, a true monster. Not only does the Agua terrorize those in the water, but it can also terrorize those around it. Picture that for a second. You're Bambi, you're chilling by the water, you're taking a little sippy sip. Suddenly, this 15-foot, 444-pound beast lunges at you. You've managed to survive and you've gotten away. Woohoo! I'm safe. But then this son of a gun starts out of the water and chases you down. Reportedly, this thing is hella fast, so the chances you're getting away are slim. Once it grabs onto a victim as well, it's not getting away. It either kills the creature instantly with its razor-sharp teeth, or it's pulling you down into the water and drowning you. Either way, you're not in for such a fun afternoon. The thing is also ornery as heck. Unlike a lot of our aquatic friends, this fellow wants to fight you. It's like it's sitting in the water all day long, sharing its sketchy opinions about fish and seafood, and it's holding a sign that says, "Fight me." It also appears that this thing kills out of necessity, but also seemingly for sport. Once it's killed you, it stores you underwater in its lair until it gets a little bit hungry. The Agua calls the Monongahela River home. And in the summer of 1983, a guy named John Edward White was fishing on the river near the mouth of a creek. The Pawpaw Creek, to be exact, just in case you wanted to go looking for our friend. He decided that enough craziness had happened during the week and he just needed a break. He wanted a nice, quiet, long day at the river doing some fishing. As the day turned into night, White started to get kind of a weird, eerie feeling. You know the feeling, just like someone is watching you. He would notice small splashes and these small waves moving in the water and throughout the stream. The thing was, there was no one else out there, though. No boats, no solo fishermen, nothing. So he kind of wrote it off as just having that weird feeling. As he stood there, though, he noticed that small fish started to make their way upstream. They were jumping and trying to get away from something in the water. A bit frightened, White watched as about 30 feet away from where he was, something breached the surface of the water. A large, serpent-like tail came out and slapped the surface as it made its way back down into the river. Rightfully so, John Edward White said no thanks. He left, and he hasn't gone back to this day. That's probably a good call, Mr. Three Names. Sightings of the Agua have reportedly happened since the colonial days, but it's really difficult to find anything other than hearsay. There's not a whole lot of first-hand accounts out there, just, I knew somebody that saw this, or this guy saw this. However, there is an interesting letter penned from a young man who was stationed at Fort Hamar in West Virginia. I'm going to go ahead and make sure that I add that to our social media account, so make sure you're following along and you can see what he had to say. Something else interesting about the Agua is that at one point, there was a rash of disappearances near the Monongahela River. A lot of these disappearances ended up being attributed to our aquatic friend, but, of course, the evidence was fairly lacking. What does that make the Agua, though? Does it make it a legend? Does it make it a story? Is it a cryptid? Of course, as usual, there are lots of theories. One of the most believable is that the Agua is no more than just a story. It's believed that local natives used to use this as a way to deter young children and wayward European settlers from going too close to their rivers and their streams. For the native people, it's a smart way to keep control of the waterways, and it really helps to keep settlers from getting too nosy or too bold. It was an area that they weren't familiar with, so they're going to think of what the locals say and put a whole lot more stock into that than what we might now. Honestly, though, it's what we do today. It makes sense. We've talked about it before and how we tell our kids stories to prevent them from doing things. Another theory consists of 1 tablespoon of legend, and it mixes in 2 tablespoons of possible reality. How's that, Mike, you ask? Well, Some believe that the Agua was or is an actual creature that sometimes can accelerate onto land, catching deer, small animals, and in some cases, the peeps. It's a creature that has a mouth full of razor-sharp teeth and is incredibly dangerous. However, the creature that some people believe that this is or was isn't a turtle at all. There are those that believe that the Agua was actually an alligator that at one point in history made its way up the Mississippi to the Ohio River and inevitably into the Monongahela River. I know, some of you are thinking how preposterous this sounds, but think about it. There are documented accounts of alligators riding a warm water trend and ending up in the north. In the last decade alone, there have been reports from Illinois, New York, Michigan, and yes, even Pennsylvania. So it's entirely possible that an alligator could be mistaken for the Agua, right? Let's see. Let's go down the checklist for a second. Razor sharp teeth, check. Leathery brownish red skin, check. Drowns its prey, check. Can rush onto the land very fast, check. You know, I mean, it checks a lot of boxes. Not to mention that there are reports of a deep gash left between the tracks of this thing. So either the Agua is a very blessed creature, or it has a long, large tail. We just don't know because we've never seen it. Then, of course, there's the thought that perhaps it's just a large snapping turtle. That also checks some boxes as well. Yeah, of course, minus the whole speed part and the 444-pound part, but, I mean, it could make sense. I've seen some pretty large snapping turtles in my day, but I'm going to guess it's probably not as likely. In the end, the Agua is either a legendary cryptid or just a cryptid legend. Maybe sometime you can venture down to West Virginia and see what you can find out along the Monongahela River. And now, a word from our sponsors. Dunkin' Donuts, sponsor me. Okay, thanks. And we're back. And once again, we're moving along this wonderful, beautiful state. Seriously, if you've ever driven through it and you like geology, you are in heaven. If you haven't or you're not really into it, just do it anyway. Do it now. Get in the chopper. Gorgeous. It's absolutely amazing. Our next friend, though, he's not really gorgeous. Well, nor is he really disgusting, I guess. Truth be told, I'd say he's just pretty BA looking. However, he will mess you up. Say hello to our next friend.
The Beast of Beckley.
Straight from South Central West Virginia comes a creature that most definitely has made an impact on all those that have encountered it. And that's one of the strangest things about this monster. Not a whole lot has been heard about it. I actually came to learn of it while driving around the backwoods of West Virginia, perusing the National Cryptid Society files. There aren't a whole ton of sightings of this creature, but the ones that we have are very, very distinctive. Before we start, though, let's get an idea of what the Beast of Beckley looks like. I want you to think for a second. Imagine a dark, scary creature. Think of the creature that haunts your dreams. I'm going to guess that there's a good chance that this could essentially completely describe that beast. This thing is somewhere between 7 and 9 feet tall. And the reason that we say somewhere between is because no one seems to want to hang around long enough to measure it. I can't say that I blame them, though, but either way, this creature is pretty big. Those who have seen it say it's dark, like completely devoid of any light black. It has this dark jet black hair that is pretty shaggy and hangs down kind of like a dog. You know, the shaggy dog. There are a few really distinct features to this big boy, too, that make me want to sleep with my light on tonight. Firstly, he has four eyes. And not like he wears glasses, four eyes, like four eyes. Four distinct, different eyes. Not so much eyeballs either. We're talking glowing yellow eyes. No thank you. Not only that, but he also has a mouth.
I know. Crazy, right?
What does make it crazy, though, is that this mouth is filled with bright, shiny, razor-sharp teeth. And not only that, it likes to show its teeth off, too. Like, show them off and smile at its peoples. It sounds kinda weird, but it really feels like this thing is pretty aware of the people around it. There's no description of a face on this guy, as it's said to be covered by that long, gross, black hair, and there's not a whole lot else as far as how it looks. It's pretty cut and dry. No matter what, though, this thing most definitely leaves its mark, and it definitely did on the person that's most notably reported it. This is a report from a person named Raven, and this report comes right from the National Cryptid Society site. Here is how their first encounter with this creature was described. I sat there for a few minutes, singing quietly to myself to calm my nerves. When I looked over at the nearby bush, and I noticed a crouched black form with four yellow eyes staring back at me. I scrambled to my feet and called for my friend, who ran my way from her position in the clearing. She slipped on some mud and fell right in front of the creature, distracting it only for a second before its eyes returned to me. I pointed at the eyes and asked her if she was seeing what I saw, not believing my own eyes. She confirmed that she did, and like a fool, I reached down for a fallen tree branch and took a few steps towards the thing. It roared at us unlike any other thing I've ever heard in my life. We turned tail and ran as fast as we could back to my house and didn't dare turn to see if it had followed. We returned the next day to find gashes in some of the surrounding trees, like huge claws had torn into them. There was no other sign of the thing that we had seen. The account continues to describe years of personal torment from this creature. It appears to have followed her from place to place and even to another state. The thing was its own personal, terrifying stalker creature. One of the strange things about this, though, is that it was never violent towards this person. It left gashes in the trees and sometimes would smile its big menacing smile at them. They saw those big menacing teeth on more than one occasion and the thing just watched. It didn't seem to want to hurt anyone. I was torn about sharing this story as well because, as much as I love the National Cryptid Society, this was almost literally the only account that I could find. Sounds like an amazing story though, doesn't it? Something that you'd be hard pressed to question. But is that just it? Is it just a story? I thought about it though. This creature sounds a lot like a Bigfoot. Large, bulky, scraggly hair. Each region seems to have their own variation of the Bigfoot. So I decided to go ahead and I visited our old friends at the Bigfoot Field Research Organization and I looked up accounts from Raleigh County. Since 1975, there were four. One of them describes like a grizzly bear colored thing. And you know, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know the difference between brown and black. Again, swing and a miss. Kind of discouraging, but there was one in 1975. The way they described this was, we had just stopped to take a breather when we heard rustling on an old logging road about 300 feet above us. I had an old Red Ryder BB gun with me, like it would have done any good, and it was rattling in my hands as they trembled. Maybe someone was watching us. Just in a matter of minutes, large boulders, the size of a washer or a dryer, came down one after the other, headed right for us. We froze like stone statues, scared to death. After regaining our composure, we led up that hillside as though our feet were not even touching the ground. That's when, against my better judgment, I turned to look back just in time to see a large black shape disappear over the hillside. A large black creature disappeared over the hillside. Then another similar encounter happened in 2009 with a described large black creature in Raleigh County. This beast is really a head-scratcher. What is it? One theory that I've seen is that it's a demon. The four distinct yellow eyes, the menacing smile, following Raven into a different state. Sounds like some interdimensional traveler that's attached itself to this person. But since the person moved away from home, the creatures just remained near the family's home.
So, does that mean it's attached to the family or the house or the area? Absolutely no idea. Another theory is that, again, this thing isn't real. It's a story from someone's imagination. Something they drummed up to garner some attention, right? There aren't a whole lot of other descriptions of this creature, but, I mean, who really knows? I'm still not sold on that, though. Honestly, to me, it sounds like a Sasquatch type of creature. It matches the descriptions, it moves like it. The whole eyes thing seems to be a bit baffling, but that could be some sort of mutation from the area or something. I mean, who really knows? West Virginia is a strange place with a long history of weird things, a lot of them being used in mining. Maybe it's a Sasquatch that's adapted to the locality of where it is, or maybe it just has, like I said, some sort of mutation because of the chemicals in the area. I do know, though, that this is most definitely not something that I would ever like to encounter. Like, ever. No thanks, I'm good. Raven, sorry this happened to you, but you're going to have to bite the bullet on that one. What I would like to encounter, though, is all of you. As this adventure draws to an end, I hope that your Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving or just Thursday has, is, or was fantastic. I also hope that when Aunt Edna started yelling about politics and your dad and uncle started fighting about who broke the railing back at Thanksgiving in 1972, that you are able to sneak away, put this show on, and just take a short break. I know that I'll be laying down at some point with my pants unbuttoned watching some Christmas movies. It'll be fantastic. Maybe we'll throw on some Die Hard, a real Christmas classic. As always, though, I would love to chat more and more with all of you, especially since West Virginia has so much more to offer. Like last time, make sure you follow me on the Twitter, at MNFPod, on InstaFun, at Monsters and Friends, or just do a search for the Monsters and Friends podcast on Facebook, and there you shall find us. Also, make sure that you're hitting subscribe when you're on your favorite podcasting app. Or, better yet, download like 12 podcasting apps and subscribe on all of them. It would be amazing. No matter what, though, bottom line, just make sure that you subscribe and you follow us out there. And please, it would be amazing if you would rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever that you can. If you rate us and leave a review, we'll even make sure that a special present makes its way out to you for Christmas this year. With all that being said, though, our time together this week has come to a close. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Happy Thanksgiving, and we will chat again real soon.